Chapter 35. Luke opened his eyes to a gold scintillating blur. Coruscant's nightside, he thought, hanging beyond a medbay viewport. That the medbay had a viewport was a good sign. It meant he was aboard a sizable vessel, most likely the frigate Red Star from which he and Jaina had launched into the Maw. It also meant Jaina had survived to fly him to safety. She had prevailed against ship and almost certainly reached Abeloth's homeworld. And that meant she had found Ben. Luke reached out in the Force and was overjoyed to sense his son not too far away, near the front of the ship with many other familiar beings. It felt as though they were deep in discussion, their minds focused and their moods solemn. After a moment, Ben's Force aura crackled with delight, and the other presences began to ripple with excitement as they realized Luke had awakened. He allowed his own joy to fill his being, then was overwhelmed by the torrent of love and delight that came flooding back to him. He could feel Corrin and Saba and many of the other masters, all of them bursting with relief and elation. The depth of their emotion was so pure and powerful that he did not know quite what to make of it. It left him feeling humbled and grateful and a bit confused, wondering how long he had been unconscious and what had been happening while he lay healing. The answer came a moment later when Luke's vision finally cleared and he began to see what had become of Coruscant. The planet remained a sparkling disk of light, but now there were dark areas hundreds of kilometers across, and patches of flickering crimson adjoined by huge swaths of smoke-dimmed light. Much of Coruscant was either burning or in ruins, and not just in Fellowship Plaza, but in thousands of places across the planet. Despite the Jedi Order's best efforts to keep the worst of the fighting inside the temple, the Sith had spread the battle across an entire world. And Abeloth had brought the darkness. Luke deactivated the medical monitors so they wouldn't alert an attendant, then removed the IV catheters from his arm. Slowly and with great effort, he got out of bed and dressed in a clean robe he found folded in a locker near his bed. His entire body ached with fever, and his atrophied legs trembled with weakness. But the greatest anguish was in his chest, where he could still feel Abeloth's bald tentacle, an empty, sick heat that he thought might stay with him for the rest of his life. From behind Luke came the soft rasp of a dilating iris hatch, and a set of boots began to stride across the deck toward him. He turned to see his son approaching, dressed in a short brown robe over trousers and boots. The only signs of his brush with Abeloth were a few fading scars and a self-assured bearing that made him seem suddenly taller, stronger, and far less innocent.
"What are you doing dressed?" Ben demanded, pointing toward the empty bed. "You're supposed to be in bed."
Luke merely smiled. "It's good to see you too, son,"